following show contains adult language, content that some may find adult, and spoilers for events, books, movies, and TV shows. You have been warned.
And welcome to another episode of That Podcast Show. I'm Gerald Fibes. You can follow me at Twitter and on Instagram at Gerald Fibes. Send me an email at thatpodshow@yahoo.com. That's thatpodshow @yahoo.com. You can listen to this podcast on Podomatic and on iTunes. So do me a favor, like and subscribe to this podcast on those two different platforms. And a bigger favor, I ain't asking for much. Give me a positive review, 5 stars, whatever the fuck it is. How's it going? Been a while, been a minute. Busy things happening this weekend. If you're on the East Coast, in the tri-state area, WWE is in town. They basically take over New York for 3 whole days. This year it's going to be 4 because of SmackDown last year when they made SmackDown Live for the first time. I don't think they had enough time to actually change it or do anything about the scheduling, because if I remember correctly, last year SmackDown was in Connecticut at Mohican Sun. But this year, I believe all 4 days in a row, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, are just out of Barclays, which is pretty fucking cool. I will be there tomorrow, Saturday. So as I'm recording this, it is Friday, for NXT TakeOver 3. I've been to NXT TakeOver the past 2 years in a row. This is their last year being in Brooklyn, so I figured, why the fuck not? Not doing another WWE show until Royal Rumble in January, because it's in Philly. And a big rumor is that there's supposed to be a NXT TakeOver Philadelphia the night before, which I hope happens, because I'll just make a fucking double shot out of that weekend. But, yeah, doing TakeOver tomorrow, not doing SummerSlam, just because the tickets are always so goddamn expensive. Raw actually lands on my birthday this year, so I'm toying around with the idea about maybe doing that. But, yeah, a lot of stuff going on this weekend as far as wrestling goes. I just got back right now from some tiki dinner. See, normally, there's one tiki place I like to hit up, but we didn't do it tonight. We decided to do a different one. And, oh, shit got lit. There were people there. It just so happened that I went there on the random night that they happen to do karaoke. So there are people there that are there just for the fucking karaoke. They're wasted already. One woman right next to like the booth, she was fucking so drunk. She's laughing the whole time. She's cursing like fucking crazy. Some other woman sits down as like I'm about to like leave with some date or man or like whatever, and she's all like, put shit in my lap and arguing with this dude about like what fucking song they're gonna sing and like a whole bunch of other shit. Then this one guy fucking gets up. His name was Tim. And he starts just fucking, Tim breaks the karaoke ice. And Tim gets up there and he sings Here Comes the Song. Good fucking song. Decent, I guess, as far as karaoke does. I personally don't do karaoke. If I was wasted enough, I probably wouldn't have been up there doing some fucking Chumbawamba. I probably wouldn't have been up there doing some, you know, some Donna Summer. Trigger on the Finger. Love Is in Control. Look it up. It's fucking good. But my man Tim was up there doing Here Comes the Sun, and then he's done. And I'm like, okay, next up. No, Tim was not fucking done. He fucking busts out I'm Still Standing by Elton John. And I was like, this motherfucker Wow. Better than fucking Egerton. You know what I'm talking about. The fucking Eggsy from Kingsman. What's his fucking name? Fucking something Egerton. Taron Egerton, right? He is fucking in that Sing movie as a boy gorilla whose father, okay, for those who haven't seen, who have not seen the movie Sing, spoilers, his father is played by Idris Elba, and he's a gangster, and he wants his son to be in his gang and be like the getaway driver, and shit doesn't happen because he's like, nah, dad, I want to sing. And so his dad goes in jail, and he's like, how'd I end up with a song like you? You know, and he sees him, like, singing on TV. And the song he's singing is Elton John, I'm Still Standing. And it's fucking good. But my man Tim tonight, he blew that shit out of the fucking water. Sound like a fucking angel he did. Good on you, Timmy. Shit's good. Anyway, last weekend, I was supposed to go to Progress. Because Progress, they go all around England, mostly from the Electric Ballroom in Camden in London. Sometimes they'll do, like, Birmingham or Manchester, but it's mostly that, like, Camden location that they usually, like, emanate out of. But they announced, like, a couple months back, like, around, like, April or May, they're coming to America. They're going to do a show in New York, and the very next night, a show in Boston. So I'm like, fuck yeah, one of my favorite promotions is going to be My Neck in the Woods. You best believe my ass is going to fucking be there. So I bought these tickets way back in fucking May. Well, last weekend comes on Saturday. We go to the fucking New York show. This show was fucked since Jump Street. Every single little thing that could go wrong did. Okay, Pete Dunne got injured the night before, and so could not wrestle in their main event, which was advertised as Pete Dunne versus Jack Gallagher for the WWE UK title. That match got fucking scrapped. During the show, TK Cooper, he did that whole spot where you do a moonsault and you land on your feet. Well, he landed really fucking weird. And he fucked up his ankle. So now he's out and injured also. They crammed 1,500 people into this fucking place. And about 2 or 3 people suffered with, like, heat stroke and heat exhaustion. Like, people are fainting due to the heat. And it's too fucking hot. And then there are other people who are in the same boat as me and paid for fucking seats. But there are no seats to be sat in. So I got there and I was sitting in section C, row 5, seats 5 and 6. Find section C, there's row 4, where's row 5? No row 5. Come to find out, no row 5 because they ran out of fucking seats. Not enough fucking seats. Therefore, you don't get a fucking row 5. Well, bullshit, I don't get a fucking row 5. I paid for these fucking seats. Paid for these fucking seats since fucking May, mind you. And earlier on in the day, Evolve did a fucking show in the same fucking building. Which is weird, because usually, when they're in Queens, the show was in Queens, we were in Corona. Usually, they do it out of some club called La Boom. Now, I don't know if they're going to keep doing it out of La Boom or not. I don't know if maybe they're trying to find other places besides La Boom. Maybe they're, like, tired of La Boom. But this place was the drizzling shits of a fucking venue. What was even worse was the fucking crew. Because the crew that worked this event was not from Evolve. And they certainly were not from fucking Progress. They were these people who worked for the fucking venue, okay, and the venue insisted, well, you need to use our fucking people, so that's what fucking happened. Because that's what fucking happened, I lost my shit and I fucking left. because I'm standing around in that general area where I should be sitting. There are people behind me in bleachers that some of them can't see because there are people like me and others standing around me who are in the same fucking boat. They bought tickets for seats that aren't fucking there, so they're standing around in the general area where they would be fucking seating. And it's not just on, like, my side. On the other side of like, the fucking venue, there were people standing around there, too. I have to say, in total, myself included, there probably had to be an extra, like, 20, maybe 25 people who bought seats that didn't have fucking seats because of this fucking bullshit. So I got the people from the venue who are working the show. They're saying, hey, you gotta go, like, hang out by, like, the fucking wall. You're blocking fucking people. And I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm not going over there. I get moved over there. I have fans in that area that are like, hey, you gotta go back where you fucking were because now I can't fucking see. So now I'm getting tossed back and forth like a fucking yo-yo because certain people can't fucking see and because the assholes who are working the fucking venue are telling me I can't fucking stand there. So I keep going fucking back and forth. And look, I don't want to be a fucking dick. First rule of progress. Don't be a dick. And yet the people who are running the fucking show, right, who are working the show, who are from this fucking venue, were breaking that one fucking rule because they were being total fucking dicks. I have one fucking guy telling me, listen, if you don't fucking move, I'm going to have you fucking kicked out. That was a straw right there that broke the fucking camel's back. I was like, excuse me? Fuck you, asshole. And look, I felt bad for everyone fucking standing behind me. For those who've never fucking met or fucking seen before, I'm a fucking tall drink of water. I'm fucking around like 6'5". I'm a big boy, so I understand if someone behind me is like, look, I can't fucking see because your fucking big ass is, you know, blocking fucking everything. I get that. And I don't want to fucking, you know, cause any fucking problems. Look, we're all here for the same reason. We're all here to just, you know, relax, have a good time, watch your fucking kick-ass pro wrestling. But I'm just trying to enjoy myself here as much as you are. I'm putting a tough fucking situation here. But then after that one asshole was like, I'm going to kick you out if you don't fucking move. Well, fuck you. I'm not fucking staying. Fuck that shit. Who the fuck are you? So I got my fucking refund. And I told the dude who I spoke to was actually Trevin Adams of Evolve. I was like, you may want to go down there and put some fucking boots in asses because you got a bunch of people there just, you know, rubbing people the wrong fucking way. And he explained, he's like, look, these aren't my guys, and they're not the guys from Progress. They work for the fucking building because the building insisted that we use their fucking people. He's like, because rest assured, if I had brought my crew like I usually do, you guys would have been fucking taken care of, and this whole situation would have never fucking happened because everyone would have had seats. Because the whole thing was like, well, we ran out of seats. Okay, well, will there be seats? Because if it's a situation of, look, there's nothing we can do. The show started. We have seats, but we can't actually put them out until, like, intermission. Then, all right, I'll go hang out somewhere. I'll lean against the fucking wall until intermission. And then you show me where my fucking seats are. Once you're out, and then once the show restarts after intermission, I can sit in my seat for the rest of the fucking show. That's fine. But that shit didn't even fucking happen. It's just a whole bunch of like, well, no. And according to fucking Trevin Adams, these guys were full of shit. There were seats. They just, you know, they just had their fucking head up their ass, and they didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. But I was just so and he was like, look, I'm going to give you a full refund. Here you go. You're more than welcome to stay. You know, you're basically going to get a fucking free show. But I was just so fucking pissed off. I couldn't even enjoy myself. I didn't even pay attention to the fucking first two matches, you know? And we fucking bounced. So I was upset, and disappointed, and pissed off, and a whole bunch of shit all the fucking once, because I really look forward to this fucking show. So hopefully, there'll be a chance for me to see them in the States in the fucking future. Of course, the big goal is to actually see them in London at the fucking Electric Ballroom. But yeah, hopefully I'll be able to see them in the States again if they decide to come around one fucking day. very next day, Sunday, was a lot fucking better. Because I went to the fucking Trenton Punk Rock Flea Market, which this time around was being held at Nesamini Creek in Croydon, Pennsylvania, which is like going south, like around almost where like Philly is. Shout out to the fucking brewery, because it's a nice fucking brewery. It's a good looking brewery. The whole like drinking area is fucking cool. They got a pool table. They got air hockey. They got foos tape. They got fucking original arcade games of The Simpsons, Teenage Ninja Turtles, and X-Men vs. Capcom. I was like, what? I'm going to lose some fucking quarters today. This shit was fucking great. They had a huge fucking like projection TV on playing the fucking Manchester game. It was fucking beautiful. And the beer is fucking great. They had a really good, like you can only get this at the fucking brewery. List of like seasonals, one of which was like this cherry hibiscus wheat, which was fucking good. I took a growl of that shit home later so I can watch a fucking Game of Thrones. You never know what you're gonna find at this fucking flea market. I got a giant hot rod Rowdy Roddy Piper fucking like figure, okay? And you want to talk about shit that's lit? How about that limited edition WWF Buried Alive box set? I'm talking about that Paul Bearer figure. I'm talking about that Mankind, that Undertaker. But more importantly, I'm talking about that motherfucking Executioner figure. One of those very few Bam Bam Terry Gordy figures. I got some. It's a good set. I saw this shit. I was like, what? Instant fucking purchase. I'm gonna buy this shit. I'd be fucking stupid not to fucking buy this shit. They had, you know, different tables that day than they did the previous day, which kind of gives like the incentive that you should probably go if you're able to both days, because you're gonna get different shit on both days. The food trucks were fucking good. Shout out to Underground Donuts with that good shit. We're gonna do it again in October. It's being held at their home base in Trenton. It's tons of fun. You should definitely go check it out. It's only $5 to get in, you know. Try and do both days if you can, because like I said, Saturday is different than Sunday. It's different booths and whatnot. It's a ton of fucking fun. Anyway, like I said, this weekend is WWE weekend over here on the fucking East Coast. We got NXT TakeOver. We got Raw and SummerSlam and SmackDown, all that good fucking shit. So I want to break down some, you know, some cards and some predictions and all that fun shit. Let's start off with tomorrow, Saturday, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Okay, we're going to have Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black. Kenta versus Tommy End. Holy shit, this match right here will probably wind up stealing the show. I'm excited for this match. It's the one match I'm looking the most forward to tomorrow. I would have to say Aleister Black wins, because he's got that winning streak going. I think they keep that intact. And they just turned Itami heel, and he's demanding respect. And I think right now, a pissed off Hideo Itami with a chip on his shoulder is what's, quote unquote, best for business. I think you need to keep that. So, Black wins. Then we have Cien Aldre Almas versus Johnny Gargano. I think Almas wins, you know? I would like to see Gargano win. But honestly, I think it makes more sense for Almas to win, so I think he wins. Then we got our three title matches: Sanity versus the Authors of Pain for the tag titles. There's just no way that fucking Sanity wins, right? I mean, I really want them to, but I just don't fucking see it happening. I thought maybe TM61 would return in time and they'd be the ones to face the Authors of Pain, but it doesn't look like that's gonna fucking happen, but whatever. So I think Authors of Pain retain. The women's title on the line. The champ, Asuka, who's nearing over like 500 days with this fucking thing, faces Ember Moon in a rematch. from WrestleMania weekend. This is a hard one to call because you can very easily see Ember Moon winning, but next week that Mae Young Classic is happening, and they can very easily have the winner of that tournament face Asuka for the belt and have that person wound up being the one who dethrones her. So I don't know. It's really hard to call. Fuck. You know what? I'm going to say Asuka retains. I'm going to say she fucking holds on to that belt. And then main event, Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre for the NXT title. Bobby Roode keeps it. I don't think they take it off him just yet. I think he's going to hold on a little bit longer. I think by the winter, he'll get called up to WWE. I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Roode was one of the entrants in this year's Royal Rumble, and that's how he makes his main roster debut. I think it'd be a glorious way to make a debut. But I think for now, he retains that title and holds on to it, you know? But that's NXT TakeOver. Let's go now to SummerSlam, where we have, on the pre-show, Akira Tozawa versus Neville for the WWE Cruiserweight title. I was surprised this match happened on Raw. I guess this is why? I don't know. I'm glad Tozawa is the champ. I think it's awesome. And I think he retains, honestly. Then, for some reason, this match got moved to the pre-show, which is weird, because it should be on the main card. But the New Day face off against the Usos for the tag titles. I think Usos won them back. Because fuck that shit. I want the Usos to win. Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan are in a six-man tag against The Miz, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel. I'm going to say Hardy's and Jordan because they're doing that slow burn towards Jordan getting that IC title from Miz. Main card, here we go. Tag titles on the line. The champ Cesaro and Sheamus versus Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. God damn, what a stupid fucking match this is. You fucking kidding me? You couldn't come up with anything better for Rollins and Ambrose to do than team up and challenge for the fucking tag belts? Are you fucking kidding me with this fucking bullshit? Fuck this match. Cesaro and Sheamus retain the fucking belts. Fuck this shit. Cena versus Baron Corbin. Sucks Corbin lost the fucking cash-in. Speculation is because of heat or like whatever. Whatever, dude. Unless there's... We actually know that it's heat. I think it's speculation. I don't think that's fucking real. I think they that's just what they wanted to do. So that way this match made sense. Because this match is kind of thrown together. And I guess to kind of make more sense and have it seem story-wise that Baron Corbin had a real reason to, like, be pissed off and want to fight John Cena, it was, you know, because he cost him his fucking, you know, money in the bank briefcase or like, whatever the fuck. I'm going to say Baron Corbin wins. Because Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor. They did this match on fucking Raw too, and I was like, why? What's the fucking point? And then, you know, he gets blood all over him, and he's like, I got a demon in me, and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say that Finn Balor wins. Even though Bray could use a win, there's just no way he's going to lose against fucking Balor. So Balor wins. A singles match where Enzo Mori will be suspended above the ring in a shark cage. It is his former partner, Big Cass, going one-on-one with the Big Show. This company needs to quit it with a fucking shark cage. No one is buying that fucking toy. No one's buying that ring set with a fucking shark cage. No one gives a shit. Stop trying to make it happen by having these goddamn matches in real life. I saw on Raw that Gallows and Anderson came out and actually helped out Big Cass take out the Big Show. I like that a lot. Hey, how about we have Finn Balor turn heel and have him join them? And then you have your Balor Club or the Club, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You know, Gallows and Anderson with Big Cass led by Finn Balor. you know, Balor can do the bad luck Fale entrance where he was on Fale's shoulders doing the fucking two sweets, only this time he'd be on the shoulders of Big Cass. I would like that. That'd be fucking cool. Could we do some shit like that, please? Because that'd be nice. I don't really give a shit about this match. I'm going to say Big Cass. Randy Orton versus Rusev, because these guys got bills to pay and they got nothing else to do. I would like it to be Rusev, but it's probably going to be Orton because he hasn't won a pay-per-view in like I don't know how long. It's been a while. U.S. title on the line. Shane McMahon, your special guest referee. This match will probably be fucking good. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. I'm going to say AJ Styles because it looks like they're building towards an Owens and Shane match. So, AJ. The WWE Raw Women's title on the line. Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. This is the match that I wanted originally. It sucks how we got here, but, you know, I'm glad that we are here. You know, like, Bayley got injured and she's out, but, you know, these things happen. Alexa Bliss with Sasha Banks should be another good fucking match. I'm going to say, as much as I would like Ms. Bliss to fucking retain, I think Sasha Banks wins. I think she breaks that Brooklyn curse and she actually wins one for once. So I'm going to say Sasha. Then on the blue brand, the SmackDown Women's title is on the line. Naomi versus Natalya. I think Naomi retains. WWE title on the line. Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to say Shinsuke Nakamura. And then the big match, Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman. Now, there's a few ways you can look at this. Brock can retain, sure. Or we can have a new champion. I would like Samoa Joe to win. If I had to pick out of, you know, the other three, I would like Samoa Joe. I would like that very much. However, something else that would be kind of cool would be Roman Reigns. And here's why. The only way we can kind of make this whole Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose shit work is if we actually do, you know, we pull the trigger and do a full-on Shield reunion here. And we have Rollins and Ambrose come out and help out their boy win that fucking belt. And then it's, you know, the three of them kind of like running shit on Raw, you know. And then having Brock cash in his fucking rematch against all of them. And you get like a cool 3-on-1 handicap match where you kind of see, you know, how, let you know, let's test that bond of brotherhood. Let's see how good friends you really are. You know, whoever pins Brock or makes Brock tap out walks out with the fucking belt. So are you going to help out your boy Roman, or are you going to be in for yourself and walk out with that fucking title? What fucking happens? You can do some shit like that. You know, I'd like to see that match. Plus, it would be kind of cool to see the Shield all over again. And maybe, just maybe, that might be the thing to kind of help out Roman Reigns. But that's the only thing happening this summer. Every single year, summer kind of ends with PWG doing their Battle of Los Angeles tournament. This year, like last year, they're doing it around like Labor Day weekend. They already announced who's going to be in it. And the brackets are out there as well. So I have my whole predictions of the tournament. As far as who's in it, we have Big Daddy Volter, Flamita, Keith Lee, Ricochet, Mark Haskins, Travis Banks, Zack Sabre Jr., Jonah Rock, Mike Elgin, Pentagon Jr., Matt Sydal, Matt Riddle, Sami Callihan, Marty Scurll, Flash Morgan Webster, Jeff Cobb, Diamond Dijak, Brian Cage, Trevor Lee, Phoenix, Ray Horace, Sammy Guevara, TK Cooper, and Desmond Xavier. brackets are as follows, and here are the predictions. We have Trevor Lee going 1-1 with Dom and Dijak. I'm going to say Dijak. Ray Horace versus Ray Phoenix. I'm going to say Phoenix. Sammy Guerrero versus TK Cooper. I'm going to say Cooper. Brian Cage versus Desmond Xavier. I'm going to say Cage. Cage versus TK. I got Cage. Phoenix versus Dijak. I got Dijak. And then Dijak versus Cage. I have Dijak. Okay, so now we have Jonah Rock versus Zack Sabre Jr. I'm going to say ZSJ. Mark Haskins versus Travis Banks. I'm going to say Haskins. Flamita versus Ricochet. Ricochet. Keith Lee versus Big Daddy Volter, which, whew, oh, if that isn't going to be a great fucking match. I'm going to say Volter. And then Volter versus Ricochet. I'm going to say Volter. And then Haskins versus Zack Sabre Jr., I'm going to say Haskins. And then Volter versus Haskins, I'm going to go Mark Haskins. All right, final brackets here. Flash Morgan Webster versus Marty Scurll, I'm going to go Scurll. Jeff Cobb versus Sammy Callahan, I'm going to go Cobb. Matt Sydal versus Pentagon Jr., I'm going to go Pentagon. Matt Riddle versus Mike Elgin, I'm going to go Riddle. Matt Riddle versus Pentagon Jr., gonna go Matt Riddle. Jeff Cobb versus Marty Scurll, I'm gonna go Jeff Cobb. And Cobb versus Riddle, I'm gonna go Jeff Cobb, which makes, per my predictions, the finals for this year's Battle of Los Angeles, Jeff Cobb versus Mark Haskins versus Donovan Dijak, with the winner of the tournament this year, Bullet 2017, in my opinion, will be Mark Haskins. So there you go. Bullet predicts right there. You know, they do another thing, DDT4, which is like, it's kind of like Bullet, only smaller, and it's for tag teams. They haven't done it in like a while. And I was thinking, who could they have this year if they were to bring it back, which I hope they fucking do, at least in like the future, like sometime. You know, they can have, like, the leaders, which is Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr. They could have the Chosen Bros of Matt Riddle and Jeff Cobb, Unbreakable Fucking Machines of Brian Cage and Mike Elgin, the Young Bucks, the fucking Lucha Bros, you know, Phoenix and Pentagon Jr., Best Friends, you know, Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, Ohio is for Killers, you know, the Chris Brothers, Scarlett Graves, fucking Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier, Ricochet and Matt Sydal. You know, there's a bunch of teams they can fucking put into this fucking shit. So hop on it. We like tag team wrestling too, guys. Please bring that shit back. All right, as I said, today it is Friday as I'm recording this, and today on Netflix, Defenders dropped. I saw the entire thing even before I went into fucking work today. That's how much of a fucking crazy person I am. Overall, I liked it. I thought it was good. I liked the show. However, I didn't like it as much as I thought I would, or as much as I thought I was going to. So, it's a good show. You know, it has all those good things that you look for, those good moments of them teaming up and cool fight sequences, and even some moments where it's like hero versus hero, like Iron Fist versus Daredevil, or Daredevil versus Luke Cage, or Luke Cage versus Iron Fist, you know, some shit like that, which is all fucking great. But the main issue that it suffers from is kind of a Suicide Squad issue, in that the threat doesn't match. I'm not saying the threat is too big for them like it was in Suicide Squad. What I'm saying is, in Suicide Squad, you had this thing where, look, instead of facing this hole in the sky and Enchantress, maybe you should do something different, like, you know, face the Joker, which is something that even David Ayer, like, himself came out recently and said that he fucked up, and that's the way that the movie should have fucking gone. I think instead of having the threat that they had, they should have had a threat that actually made more sense, had a threat that actually, you know, gave them more of a reason to come together and stop it. Because there's 8 episodes, and it's not even until the middle of episode 7 that you in some way kind of know what the fuck the threat is and what it is that they're supposed to stop. For the whole thing, it's like the hand, right? It's the hand, and you know that we need to stop the hand because the hand is bad, and they're going to destroy, and they're, you know, and they're going to destroy, like, New York City, and, like, blah, 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 blah. We don't know why, we don't know how, but we know, we, you know, shit's going to happen, and we need to protect New York, and we need to stop the hand, but they don't actually go into fucking shit until, like, the very end, which just pisses me off. Sigourney Weaver is awesome because she's Sigourney fucking Weaver. Super, super underutilized. They made it seem like she was going to be, like, the major villain for the whole fucking thing. And while she is a big player, you know, you come to find out she's the big boss lady. She's the leader of the hand. She doesn't really do anything, though. She doesn't do anything. And she winds up fucking dying by, like, episode 7 anyway. You know? She doesn't really do much. She doesn't even fight at all. You know, you come to find out she's one of the 5 fingers of the hand. With, like, Madame Gao and White Hat and 2 other dudes. And you know, there's not much of a fucking threat there, though. There's a substance that they need in order to, like, come back to life. And that's why they're trying to get into fucking Kong Long. And, like, it's just... It feels like they're rushed and they just, like, slapped this fucking together. Like, they were so hyped on the heroes teaming up that they forgot a reason as to why they should be teaming up in the fucking first place. So they just slapped something fucking together. But that being said, I did like seeing them team up and fight and do all this fucking shit. I just hope that they get their fucking shit together on, like, a Defenders 2. And give them more of, like, a purpose to come together and have that shit make more fucking sense, you know, give them, like, a bigger threat to fucking fight and go up against, you know? And out of all those shows, I'm most looking forward to, and, you know, as far as, like, now we're going to be in a post-Defenders world, where do these characters go from here? Daredevil. Oh, I can't wait to see fucking Daredevil season 3. You know, when it, like, leaves off and he's in the fucking nunnery and it looks like he's about to meet his fucking mom, I'm just like, dude, give me that shit. Oh, it looks like it's gonna be fucking good. And then, like, after that, they have the fucking preview for the Punisher show, and that shit looks fucking cool, too. A lot of very, like, origins type of shit, which I'm very happy about. We're going more into his, like, background and whatnot. That show I can't fucking wait for. It's gonna be fucking good. That is gonna do it for me for this episode of that podcast show. Like I said, you can hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at @charofives. Have a good week. I'll hit y'all up next week for that podcast show. I'm Jarofives. That's it.